It's Tip TV Finance. We are here with my co-host Alessia Rastani from LeadingTrader.com and with Eddie Tofpick, who is Head of Foreign Exchange at ADM Investor Services International. How are you today, Eddie?
Pretty good. I've been outside the Tip TV bunker and it's very much Phil Collins.
Yes, No Jacket Required. It was
That's
a wonderful album, wasn't it, before he totally sold out.
I still prefer the usage of it as a slang term for it. It's lovely and warm out there.
Okay, right, on the foreign exchange front,
is
there any jacket required there?
No, because there's not really necessarily that much going on.
Yes, that's what I was
You might as well, I think you look at it, the whole situation is I think the market is taking on an extended vacation period from August or even the middle of July onwards now to the second week, third week of September. We're not going to see anything really, I think, ahead of the FOMC meeting. And even then, I doubt necessarily anything will go on. Sterling today, everybody's talking and saying, OK, it's going to stay the same rate, QE is going to be the same. That will be the change.
Would you agree with the consensus that the FOMC, the Fed meeting in next week in America, that they're going to delay the rate hike potentially till December?
I'm not a great economist in this particular sense, and I'd bow my head down to other people in that area. And I would say very much so. Everybody's looking at it. It's also too close to the election period,
yeah,
I think,
exactly.
as well.
Too much uncertainty.
And also, you're getting such disparate reports from everywhere. Brainard, just before the Perdue period, turned around and said, actually, no, we're not going to really do anything here.
I have to say, you must be one of the few who do bow their heads to economists, but we can talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why you're a technical analyst, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I know the truth,
so
and they can do it. They do what they do in their area, and I'll carry on with the truth.
What, wrong forecasting. Right, let's have a look at some of the charts that you sent us today.
Well, the first one is cable, obviously because it's timely, because we have the Bank of England today. And I put this down when I did my monthly report, potential sideways triangle coil pattern, and there really isn't anything else I can suggest at the moment. We've got support around the Fibonacci level or the 50% at 131.39. You have potentially, now looking at it, an ascending triangle, 134.81 as a top side, but there's not really been tested as such.
What do you think about the fact that the recent commitment of traders report is showing that the smart money, the big institutions, are heavily long on the British pound, and potentially this could be a double bottom. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks.
Be a whole basing action, still.
Exactly, a basing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that this whole reaction we've seen since Brexit, this major fall, is an overreaction, and maybe if we see a close above 1.34, we might see the beginning of an uptrend?
If we close above, say, 135, then yes. But 134, no. The COT report, I understand fully what you're saying there, but it's not everybody is involved in the futures markets.
Right.
A lot of it's, most of it can be in the cash and the forward markets as well, plus through ETFs and various other factions as well that you can actually get exposure to this. Looking at it there, I think it's just a sideways action.
Right, so it's just see a sideways
a trading range. Yeah, I mean, you want to do options, sell some calls and puts and play the weenies on that sort of thing, sell the out money, calls and puts. But what's interesting here, you have the July 14, April 15 shift pitchfork, it's still heading south.
Yeah.
You have moving averages, which are lagging indicators, they're still heading south. Even the short medium one, which is the green one there on the chart, that's just going sideways to a little lower. It's not nothing's really turned up yet.
Yes.
There's plenty of time. If this is a basing action, it's got a little bit more to go. And the failure at that high in early September to not breach the 134.81, which was back in early July, that's another section for sideways.
Of course, by the time this program goes out, they probably will know the decision by the Bank of England today.
Yeah.
But you don't think they're going to raise rates?
Everybody says it's not going to change anything. It's going to carry on the way it is.
Right.
They've done enough. And I think nobody knows what Brexit is. The Bank of England doesn't know when Brexit will be in. I mean, the latest thing I heard was that Van Rompuy was saying that it was going to be after the German elections next year. But then you have Nigel Farage saying January. Nobody knows.
Right.
Okay, let's go on to the next chart.
Now, this is a really interesting one. We spoke about dollar yen last time, and I said to you at that particular time, and I'm going to quote you, we need a big move to show the direction. And we were then, at that time, just coming up to the 104 area in early September. And I was looking higher at that time, and we did have a big, not a big move, we had a move up to that 104.26. And I said specifically at that time, we need two Friday closes because of the action in it over 104.26. We got up to 104.26, which is the Fibonacci level plus that recent shift pitchfork line, and then we had a key reversal up, and as I've said also many times, key reversals are suspect in this pair. Anything to do with yen, don't necessarily trust it. Primarily, I think, because the yen is the most technical of all the markets. It's the oldest one that's ever been used. Technical analysis comes from Japan, so consequently, that's what you've got to look at. So they tried up, failed, and now we're back where we are.
There are recent reports in the Wall Street Journal actually mentioned this, that the Bank of Japan mm-hmm. is potentially reconsidering its negative interest rate policy because they're saying it's impacting negatively their banks.
Yeah.
Do you see the Bank of Japan ever moving away from the negative interest rate policy, and how would that play out in your opinion?
Well, I've heard from people in the market say that some will accept, the Bank of Japan are looking to accept album covers from the 1980s from J-pop albums as potentially collateral that you can use and which they can actually lend against. Right. They're looking for other things to actually buy so they can put more money into the system, but they're running out of ideas. What are you going to put into it? And that's a thing that all the banks are looking at. And eventually it's going to happen to the Bank of England, which it has to a certain degree, and the US. And anybody else who's actually using QE, you've got to look at it and say, what are you going to buy? Right. There isn't
anything
that much.
Except a fiscal policy.
That's the whole point. They're not involved in that. They're monetary.
Which they should have done in the first place.
Well, fiscal is politics. They're monetary. They can, and this is the three arrows thing. They can only do what they're allowed to do. It's then up to the government to actually make some fiscal stimulus package or do something about taxation rates.
So looking at the technicals, I'm sorry, but looking at the technicals of dollar-yen, where do you see this going?
Well, you've got potential there for a very small bear flag, which will possibly push it down to the par 69 level. But 103.27, we can see that's a resistance. It went up there, the 50% fib, and then came straight back down again this past week. Sideways, lower, following the downtrend, going back below that 2016 downtrend possibly. We haven't had two Friday closes above it.
Right.
So if you did that on the weekly chart, you wouldn't have two closes above it.
We obviously have a very strong psychological support at that round number of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider that potential buying opportunity?
I actually think below that because it's one of those things, everybody's looking for that.
Right.
The Bank of Japan knows everybody's looking for that.
Right.
If I was them, I'd say, okay, yeah, go through it. Sucker it in. Let's see. Let's go down to about 99.70, 99.60, 99.30, and then go whack.
Interesting.
That's my personal point of view.
We're out of time, but let's look at the last chart here.
This is really interesting because this is one of the ones that looks like it might be turning around. We're seeing the market move higher. It's testing a medium moving average at the moment, which is around 334.88. This is dollar Brazil. We're broken or just about to break this shift pitchfork which has been from 2015, 2016. This is actually quite an interesting one to look at and to get involved in. It's the first bullish Andrews pitchfork I've drawn on that particular pair. So that's really one to watch.
I don't know if you have time for this, but I haven't used Andrew's pitchfork. Just for folks who don't use it that much or don't look at Andrew's pitchfork, what is that telling you?
It gives the angle of attack of a market to me, usually. And I use a combination of the Andrews and the shift pitchforks. And the crossover points are actually quite important as well. But it's one of those great ones that it either fits on a chart or you can't use it.
I see. Is it similar to using like a regression channel, or is it better, do you think?
It's just what it's whatever you're happy with. I'm comfortable with it. I've been using that since the 1980s.
Right.
And again, it's an art, not a science. You've got to look at it and put it on there.
Okay.
Right. Any other questions, Alessio?
We're out of time.
Unfortunately, we are. But Ace Hoffbeck, Head of Foreign Exchange at ADM Investor Services International, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much indeed.
We'll be back after the break.